Well, that's a big reach. You're trying to get closer and closer to that big schnoz of yours.
That's not even
really big. It's little.
Welcome, everybody, to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. We're happy you're here. Brian Quinlan from Daniels Real Estate. Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group. See, every time now, you're in your head. We have another guest. This one's a real estate specific guest. Sir, who are you?
I am Braden Sammons, and I am the co-owner of Property Partners Indiana. We are a property management company.
Awesome. All right.
We're finally going to learn what that is.
We are.
Yeah.
When Brad pitched the idea of having you on the show, he wasn't sure how I'd feel about that, just because having another realtor on the show could be, you know, counterintuitive to me trying to generate business.
Especially when they see what I look like.
Well, you know, you have a face for radio.
Yeah.
But
Brian has a face for podcast.
Honestly, as soon as he said Braden, I was like, yes, because you have ventured over into the property management world, which we don't talk at all on this show about. And we get questions a lot about that, honestly. So you're a valuable guest. Thanks for being here.
Start sending them our way.
Okay, will do. What are you drinking, Brad?
Siete Leguas.
Oh.
So I was just recently at the Siete Leguas Distillery in wish I could tell you the name of the town, but I can't remember what the name of it is. Damn it.
Mexico.
It's in Mexico. It's down by Arandas. And this tequila is the coolest distillery I've ever been to.
Mm.
So they are very authentic and traditional in the way they do tequila. Everything's in a stone oven. Everything is Tejona crushed. And they actually have mares that pull the Tejonas. And there's a video that's going to play right up here that shows that. And the mares work every other day for 1 hour a day.
Okay.
And there's 16 of them, and they're treated like royalty.
Huh.
They have a vet that's with them every day, and they get reshoed all the time. And so when we did the tour and learned all about the distillery and walked through, when we were leaving, the owner came out to meet us to say thanks for touring. And then he asked our guide, they're like, did you give them some tequila? And if you look behind Braden, there's a little bottle behind him. That's a little Siete Leguas bottle. So on the cooler there.
A little bottle.
And they gave us those Blancos. And he went, no, 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 wait. And he took off and he comes back and he brings this out and he hands it to us. And he says, do me a favor. Don't post anything on the internet until we release in America. There's very few people that have this in their hands. So please hold off on it. And I did see yesterday Drink with Wayne actually posted that it was out in the States. And he did the very first video that I've seen on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram and all the socials. So this is the first time that I've brought it out. I'll be doing a review on it. But this is a really awesome tequila brand. And this is a high proof under $60.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know where it's available?
Siete Leguas is available nationwide, so you can find
locally,
them.
Do you know?
You can find them in Total Wine.
Okay.
So this, because it just hit California, the day of shooting this, it hit California about 4 days ago, so it just became stateside. So it'll probably take a little while to get to Indiana, but I would definitely look for it. It's I haven't even tasted it yet. It smells amazing. So
that's cool.
Seven leagues cool. Yeah.
Siete Leguas. Braden, you were handed a beer.
Yes, sir.
Which you don't, you're believing us that that's Coors Light.
They all the light beers, they taste pretty similar.
So I like how
it is Coors Light.
It is, yes.
If it's a Coors, it's definitely a Coors. If
okay.
It's a Bud Light, it's definitely a Bud Light. It's
got it. I am consuming Indianapolis Brewing Company Lager, which was a gift from my man Kevin at Sun King. So, again, a beer I've had before, and it is a tasty light lager, you know. Not all that dissimilar from the Coors Lights and the light beers of the world. It's good.
Hey, give it up to Sun King. We love those guys.
We do.
Take good care of
Kevin Smolar. Did you know we had Kevin on the show?
Yeah, I think I...
Director of Operations.
That one I did for sure listen to.
Yeah, he was a recent guest. Good dude.
Do you listen to the podcast or do you watch it on YouTube?
The only times I have listened to it are just on Spotify, honestly.
That's fantastic that you're one of our Spotify.
I've never seen... the visuals of it. So
now you're going to watch this one.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
to it. It's
going to
be great.
And remember, you can pick up this show on all of the podcast platforms. I think there's like 1,000 of them. I really don't know.
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot.
So when it gets released on YouTube, it's also released on the podcast the same day. So you can listen to it in your car. If you're really sleepy, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, please don't. Some of the episodes, no, they're just not exciting. Even the really good ones aren't.
I think they're all exciting. I have a ball doing this.
Entertaining, I think, is the best word.
I got
exciting, not so much. All right, Braden, you and I go way back.
Oh, yeah. Very far.
Well, I'll let you tell, like, how do you and I know each other? And Brad is encompassed in that as well, but he's sniffing his tequila. So
it's really good tequila. Yeah. This is really, you should taste it.
How do you really and I good. Know each other, BS?
So actually, when I first got into real estate, as a license agent, actually before I was even a license agent, because I was doing running signs and lock boxes and all that good stuff. We actually were on the same real estate team together. So got to know you from that. And I'm definitely one of the core people, I feel like, that kind of helped shape where I was going. You definitely have that
man
teacher mentality. So I'll take it. Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So Braden and I worked together at Keller Williams, and you are still with Keller Williams.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay. Though the team that we were on no longer exists, but you know, KW is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Did you recently attend family reunion?
So no, I did not. I went last year. It was in Vegas and it was in Vegas again this year. And just timing and stuff that my wife and I had going on didn't work out.
But, okay.
Excited to go back. Hopefully.
I think it's a good time.
Yeah. It looks like, Vegas might be a hotspot now for them. So
seems I think gonna... somebody told me that they're doing like 3 year stints in cities. So I think they got one more year there. You all right?
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Okay. So
I'm just thinking back to the first time I met you and the first time I met Braden at the same office. It's like going back in my head.
Yeah.
It's been so long ago.
All right. Now, before we get into what you do now, which I'm very interested in, you have a very fascinating background to me anyways.
Yeah.
So I wore my IU sweatshirt specifically because you were going to be on the show today.
Love it.
And I guess that's kind of where I see your interesting background, and perhaps there's more earlier than that, but you know, you were at IU during or right before pandemic time, and you started what I believe is a phenomenal business. Share.
I believed it was as well, yeah. But no, definitely a little bit of an interesting backstory in how I got into this. So obviously, we'll just start in high school.
That's fine.
As far back as that. So did not come from really like...
You're from Northern Indiana.
Yep, from Northern Indiana, from Warsaw. So
from Warsaw?
Yeah. We have definitely talked about this multiple times, but
probably
a Wabash guy, right?
Probably had a drink or two.
Yeah.
I do kind of remember you saying that now. Sorry. But no. The Alzheimer's is kicking in.
But yeah, so when I was in high school, that is kind of where I got super interested in just business in general. Family background-wise, like mom worked for school corporation. Still does. And my dad's been
the Warsaw school system.
Yeah. She,
shout out Warsaw.
Yeah. She's, more like finance stuff. Okay. So like bookkeeping. And then my dad's been in law enforcement for probably almost 35 years now, I would say. So that's kind of like, honestly, did not know any real estate agents growing up. I don't think I honestly met a real estate agent until probably like college.
Interesting.
Till his dad arrested him for drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. I think they had a closing that day, though.
That was cool. Yeah, it was just champagne.
It was fine.
Is he Warsaw Police Department?
So he started out in Kosciuszko County, just at the Sheriff's Department, and worked there for not sure how long before even I was born. And then he ended up going to Pearson, Indiana, which is like, and he was the chief of police there for about 20 years, I think. And then he retired as the chief from there a couple years ago, and then actually went back to the Sheriff's Department and just doing... kind of in the role of like taking a step back a little bit.
My dad retired as a firefighter.
Yeah.
Ended up on the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. No. So I think that definitely, you know, had a good foundation growing up. But I have two older sisters, no younger siblings. They were super into cheer growing up, like cheered all throughout elementary school, middle school, high
school.
Please
tell me this is going to be you being a cheerleader.
I actually did cheer for 1 year. Good luck finding any pictures.
Can you throw us out like a quick like cheer? Of
I definitely was not. I was kind more of like
I just
slaughter.
I just want to see you pop those arms.
I can jump fairly high. So,
Wow.
I
can't jump high.
Like still?
We'll see.
Because we have a camera.
But
we could put a video of you jumping really high right here.
That actually might get more views.
We're all about views.
But so my parents actually opened a cheer gym. I want to say I was probably like late elementary school, early middle school. And that's kind of where I got really interested into just like entrepreneurial everything. Okay. And really the first thing that I did was like entrepreneurial wise was actually didn't really purchase it, but like worked out a deal with like the Pepsi distributor like in the area, and actually got like a Gatorade / Pepsi machine like installed at the gym because they didn't have one.
Genius.
So that was probably like late elementary school, early middle school when I did that. So that was really the first thing, was just kind of like selling Gatorades, pops, water. Pops were for the parents, not for the kids. Why they were.
You're such a northern Indiana guy calling it pop.
I don't know where that line is, because I'm from Wabash and we don't call a pop in Wabash.
What do you call it?
Must be just like
soda.
It must be like Rowan and above.
The Chicago area, it was pop. And then when I went to IU, it's been soda ever since.
Yeah. So where I grew up, it's Coke.
Yeah.
Give me a Coke, even if it was not a Coke. Yeah, it was a Sprite. It was a Coke.
Interesting.
Sorry, we're cutting you off.
No, you're fine. So kind of had like a little side business there. Grew that to starting to sell like snacks, bags of chips, pretzels, that type of thing. Oreos was a big seller.
Oreos are big. Yeah, they still are a big seller, yeah.
Yeah, so did that for a little bit. And then I think that kind of kicked off like just really wanting to start a business. I think just like seeing what it was like on a very small scale of just like making money out of nothing almost. So was obviously interested in that, went into high school, did an internship in high school for, probably heard me say it before, but Warsaw, Indiana, orthopedic capital of the world.
So it is, that's right. More knees and hips from there than anywhere in the world.
Yeah, so interned there in high school.
Keeping people mobile.
I think first semester was like marketing related. Second semester was more on like the finance side, but it was cool working for, you know, like headquarters of a Fortune 500.
Yeah, really?
So, but honestly, when I was working there, made me realize like that is not really the side of business that I want to go into in terms of like working for, you know, much larger corporation. Kind of got to see, you know, what it was like for some of the employees that had been there for 20, 25 years. I think each semester that I did, they had a round of layoffs that I would just kind of came in the afternoon, and it was like a lot of desks were empty, and they were like, yeah, well, everything that's left behind is our property now, so feel free to look around and see if there's anything on people's desks you want. And I was like,
wow, there was a lot of changes happening back then, though.
Definitely, yeah.
The mergers.
Yeah, it was it was like right after the merger when Zimmer and Biomet merged together. It was like a $10+ billion acquisition, I think. So definitely, you know, that's not specific to them. It's just,
and those layoffs went away. There, a lot of regrowth, a lot of rehiring. I've closed so many mortgages for people that work. Those are great companies.
I mean, obviously, like the orthopedic industry being in Warsaw is the absolute best thing to happen to Warsaw. Oh, like, it is the reason for the economic growth, for the stability. Obviously, the lakes help a lot, like a lot of gorgeous lakes. Something that I missed, you know, moving down south was just, there's some lakes, but not as many like that. So summers are a little bit different.
Our lakes here are more like toilets.
Yeah. More of a pond than anything. But yeah, so that was like later high school. And that was when I was like, you know what? I want to start a business. Like, I want to work for myself in some capacity. So right around that time, there was a place in Fort Wayne, Indiana that opened up, which if you live in Warsaw, if you're going to do shopping or eating or anything, you're going to Fort Wayne. So it's, so there was a place in Fort Wayne that opened around my, I want to say probably like junior year of high school. It was called Yummy Bunny. They're no longer there, but they essentially took like this West Coast ice cream trend of like putting ice cream in between donuts, and it exploded in Fort Wayne. Yeah.
Could it not explode?
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like one of the two best things just combined. So
time out. I'm going to have you slide this way so you're actually in front of that microphone.
Ice cream in a donut.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, we got a thing that's like sex inside of sex.
Yeah, that's, again, delightful. I'm in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But it exploded in Fort Wayne. We went there a couple times. I mean, it was all over the news. Like, anytime people wanted to go, it was like you waited in a 30, 40-minute line to get into this ice cream place. So
wow.
Kind of saw that. We had visited there a couple times. Like, this is a great, like, concept and idea. And actually, at the time, both of my sisters were at IU in Bloomington. So definitely family on the weekends and stuff would spend a lot of time like visiting, going back and forth. And the ice cream market in Bloomington was huge. It was, you know, you got 50, 60,000 college kids that like to eat ice cream.
So. Yeah. What's the place downtown that's famous for their ice cream? Downtown Bloomington, that side of the fire station. People have gone there for years. It closed just a couple years ago.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a lot of really famous ice cream places like Hartzell's, Jiffy Treat.
Jiffy Treat.
Yeah.
Hartzell.
Ben & Jerry's.
Oh, it wasn't Ben & Jerry's. This is going to be cut out. But there was a place that's... So when you're on Walnut, heading back into town, on the south side of town, and you would go, and there was just a window. In an alley.
I absolutely know what you're talking about.
Walked in that.
But what it's called, I have no idea.
It's like the most famous Bloomington ice cream for years.
Huh. Yeah. I have no idea. About that. I do. Yeah.
I lived in Bloomington, but I'm way older than you, so that's probably been...
Yeah, no, I know Jiffy Treat, obviously. Like, Jiffy Treat and Hartzell's were at least the biggest... It could have been Chocolate Mousse is maybe...
Chocolate Mousse, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
I mean, Jiffy Treat, that's in a, John Cougar song.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But no, so...
Let me ask you a question. So when you got to Bloomington, you started a business.
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm blown away here. How old are you?
So I wrote the business plan senior year of high school. And I was a monitor. Essentially.
Like a hall monitor? Like, quit running.
Yeah. So they had, essentially, like.
I hated you.
Yeah. No, not at that. You would have loved my role as a monitor. So it was like,
it's just
each teacher would like be able to have really just like a junior or senior student in their class for one period, just helping with whatever the teacher needed.
Okay, yeah.
So I was a monitor my senior year, and the teacher that I was a monitor for, there wasn't a whole lot going on ever. So that was where I decided to spend a lot of the time, like, writing this business plan. So wrote that in high school, had a friend of mine that, like, was wanting to help with the concept. So we missed the last day of our senior year of high school to go pitch that to actually one of the orthopedic companies, like founders in Warsaw, and just kind of started pitching it from there, raised money all kind of throughout the summer before my freshman year. We ended up raising, I think, a little bit over like $100,000 for it. Originally we were going to do like, be like a food truck or something. And we kind of saw like how popular like the concept was with people that we were talking about. We're like, saw the price of what it was going to cost for kind of like doing a custom built food truck. Like, not a lot of food trucks are made for ice cream. Like, there was going to be a lot more to it than that. And the other biggest hurdle was like, neither of us were taking our car freshman year.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Most of them would have been like trailers. And we were like, well, we're going to have to like rent a truck, or we're going to have to try to find somebody that has one. So let's
park it at the mall.
So
be fine.
So we're like, okay, you know, let's just go for it. Like, let's just try to start a brick and mortar. So like, entire freshman year was really like,
I apologize, what year is this?
So this would have been 2017.
Okay.
So spent a lot of time looking at a lot of real estate. I would say that would be...
So you went to college.
Yes.
And you instantly opened a brick and mortar store for ice cream.
Technically didn't start until my sophomore year. But that was...
Freshman year was searching.
Yes. Freshman year was searching.
So was junior year dropping out?
I wish. I wish that would have been...
He wishes he would have gotten it.
So graduated high school in 17.
Mm-hmm.
So your freshman year of college takes you into 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So your sophomore year starts in 2018. So somewhere 2018.
Yeah, so we opened up fall of 2018. It would have been the first month that students...
Timeline here is important.
Yeah, so...
What was the name of the place?
So it was named Campus Craves. And we actually... The brick and mortar spot that we got, which is like what we were most excited about, it was... With you being familiar with Bloomington, like, you know where the Bluebird's at?
I do, yeah.
So it was the Bluebird, and then there was an alley, and then it was us.
Right. So back when I lived there in the 80s, that was Campus Craves, but it was a strip club.
Yeah. Maybe it was a relative.
Different.
I don't know, yeah.
It was completely different, but people craved it.
Yeah, so... but...
Well, hotter than ice cream.
We kind of, like, shift, you know, like, the market that we were, you know, trying to sustain there. A lot of it was, like, already like this munchy idea, like donuts and ice cream compared together. So when we got the location that we were like, oh my gosh, we're gonna be like Bar Central. Like that's
right.
There were so many bars that were around there. And the thing with that area is there's not really any food spots.
No, like, you got drunk people looking for something to eat.
It was like Taco Bell, Rockets Pizza was right next to us. And it's like those places had lines out the door at like 2:30 in the morning. So we're like, you know what? All these other ice cream places close at 9. We will stay open until 3 in the morning. Like we'll stay open until all these other places do, or all these other, you know, bars and stuff close. So
I can see so many girls like, hey, Daphne, you know what I need? Malt.
Well, that so we ended up like
ice cream and donut. Ice cream and donut.
Yeah, but we expanded the menu because of that. So it was like mozzarella sticks.
Oh, I can see it.
Buffalo chicken sticks.
Buffalo chicken sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah. So
this is insane. I thought this was going to be a real estate,
dude. We'll get there,
just became like one of my heroes. Like I had no idea that
so many regulars.
You're like, a serial entrepreneur, and that is so freaking cool.
We had a ton of regulars. None of them ever met sober. Probably most of them were like, it was like we had two different markets. It was like we had families,
right?
They were there until.
Hey, Jimmy, what's the last?
Yeah, they were like, you know, coming in till after dinner and then get real slow and then right around
some chocolate syrup.
and then probably around 11, like would start to pick back up. So,
okay. You said you're open till 3 in the morning. What time did you open?
That had to change a little bit depending on the day. So like really we were only open that late
weekend,
Thursday through Saturday night. Every other night we would close at probably like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I remember. But like opening wise, like we'd open at like noon every day. Okay. So we even got into like selling more like lunch style stuff like paninis and
Oh, we have a lunch ice cream sandwich. We have a lunch ice cream lasagna.
Yep. Now over here's our diabetes station. That's the entire thing.
It was leave your diet at the door. That was our
fantastic. That's great.
Yeah, satisfy the crave, leave your diet at the door.
So
notice our door is 10 feet wide.
In our past conversations, I believe you had mentioned like homeless people would come in, which was
Bloomington has a big
because
a lot of drunk students love to either fight the homeless or give money to the homeless. It's going to be like there's no real in between. So I mean, I think that's issues that all other businesses had to deal with. I think it was like before we even opened inside, they were doing like some construction on the inside of it. We had somebody that OD'd like right outside the front door. So
you don't advertise that?
Just give them a pup cup?
Yeah. No, I think people in Bloomington understand that's not really anything that we could have controlled. So that was
helpful. So I can only imagine
this psychedelic ice cream store.
I can only imagine this was a huge hit.
Yeah, I mean, until it wasn't kind of thing, but I think the market was shifting in Bloomington anyways, like leading up to COVID and, you know, right at the beginning of COVID. It was like people didn't really know what was going on, what was going to happen student-wise. So it was fun. It was a great experience. Like it's one of those things with business that you can learn, you know, out of a book all day long, but, you know, you kind of just have to experience it. You got to fail forward, that type of thing.
So essentially COVID killed the business.
Yeah. So trying to think.
Have you thought of bringing it back though?
No, because that's the thing. Like realistically, it would have been hard probably to maintain staying open anyways. Like the players that were there, like the chocolate shop, you know, Heart Souls, Jiffy Treat, like they're just such staples in Bloomington that it's really hard to compete with them. So
It'd be hard to scale.
Yeah,
I mean, how many college towns can you go scale
exactly
to?
Yeah,
not to mention in the summertime, I can't imagine it being a big thing. It's very seasonal,
And that 60,000 people leave Bloomington in wintertime or summertime.
Yeah, and that's what's weird with that's what's weird kind of with what we were doing is that it was, you know, a business concept that relied on people wanting ice cream. Now, obviously, like the shift to selling, you know, appetizer style things to drunk kids, that was like an added bonus to it. But, you know, as an ice cream business,
good marketing.
Wait, how do I go? I have the wings, scoop it in the wings.
Sure.
Yeah.
Getting plenty of drunk Brad on this episode.
Yeah. But
I'm drinking high proof.
Yeah. Maybe a few of them. But the ice cream business, you know, you rely heavily on the summer being the biggest time for your market. And during the summer the entire market drops off.
Yeah.
But we knew that going into it, and it was a risk that we were willing to take, and I would not trade, you know, mostly anything that happened for anything else. It was a great.
Would you like to invest in a business in Bloomington?
No, but I can say this. For all the people that wasted money on Kelly Business School, you learned so much more and made so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about, I mean, not I'm not anti-teacher.
It's okay.
But do you want a guy with a nice plaid jacket with the patches on his elbow teaching you about business that he never had? Or do you want to go start a business?
Yeah. And that was the mindset that we had going into. We were like, regardless, you know, obviously you have high hopes going into anything or going into anything, but regardless, it's like, it will be an incredible experience. We had, I want to say like 17 or 18 employees like underneath us. And it's like, we were their age or younger than
right.
some of the ones that we had. So, you know, weird dynamic, but I'm glad that we got to figure it out.
Yeah. I was hoping the mortgage business would work, and I thank goodness for social media.
Someday it will. So two questions with that. Mm-hmm. Number one,
what's your favorite ice cream?
Was your major marketing? Because you didn't mention School of Business. So
business management.
Okay.
Through the SPIA? It was SPIA at the time.
Yeah.
Now it's the O'Neill School.
Okay.
I believe.
And then
did you get your degree?
No, I did not.
Good for you.
Nope. So went there all throughout. Essentially would have been like my senior year, and that was like when the entire COVID landscape like truly changed everything in Bloomington in general. So stayed in Bloomington, obviously like my sisters lived there, had a lot of friends. My wife that we were dating in high school, like she also went to IU. So, it was like,
does she work for you?
Yes. Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. A lot of our friends did, which was good hard. And bad.
Yeah. Good and bad and hard.
Hard. Yeah. Yeah. Especially like when, you know, when we opened up, like we weren't even 21 yet. So it was like, you know, serving these crowds, it's fine. Like we can't go into the bars. Like we can definitely still go to house parties and stuff, but can't go to the bars. So it's fine. Like I'd rather do that. But kind of after turning 21, like a lot of friends and people in general, just like they
want to
start going out
in the store. Hey, do you like a high scoop code?
Yeah.
Brad.
But so like essentially everything with COVID happened, that happened. And then that was like when I somehow kind of stumbled across like an aspect of real estate that I was like, that's so interesting. Like, I would like to learn more. It was, I think during COVID, like a lot of people started wholesaling real estate. It became huge. So like I was seeing videos of it all the time, and it just made me interested in real estate in general. Mm-hmm. So, that is where I was like, you know what? I think I want to pursue this. Like I want to try to get my real estate degree or, you know, get my real estate license. So that was kind of the reason for, for stepping back from that.
Then question number two, what is in that location now?
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
It was a place that already existed. It's a, like they thrift clothes. I think it's called SLCT.
I so like wanted that. You to say a strip club. I like so what, yeah. Like a strip club that serves ice cream.
Yeah.
You want to start a business with me in Bloomington?
No, I don't. I couldn't imagine the hygiene issues with a strip club. With
absolutely.
I think especially, I think probably from what I have heard, strip club scene in Bloomington is more like townies. It's not like students that you would imagine.
I can see that. Going. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I've never wanted a strip club, actually.
Okay.
It's not been a thing. Because, you know, when you think about all the things that you love, right? So I worked at Pizza Hut. I loved pizza. But when you dealt with pizza every day, not so good, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you loved hamburgers and you worked in a restaurant and you made hamburgers every day, then not so good. And then you love boobs and you work at a strip club every day. And then maybe you're like, not so big of a deal anymore. That'd be a bummer.
Huh.
Potentially.
So I actually worked at rallies for...
Did you love rallies the whole time?
Yes.
Did you leave there still liking rallies?
Yes.
I left Pizza Hut still loving Pizza Hut.
I will say one of the differences, though, is I did not make food. I was a cashier.
Okay.
Primarily. So I believe there's a different mentality around that because I wasn't seeing the food being made.
I have a mountain bike friend that was the general manager of PT's.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, that's just not anymore.
Yeah. Like, I can imagine.
Really? Like, I'm still like excited when I opened a National Geographic.
Uh-huh. You know the rallies down on 2nd Street in Bloomington?
Yes.
That's the one I worked at for 2 years. and the Wendy's by the mall. I worked at for 7 days.
You worked at the Wendy's by the mall?
Seven days.
I don't even know.
7 days? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Wow. It was right next to my apartments. So I was working at Rally's sophomore year. Then we moved to the Hunter's Run apartments right across the street from the mall.
Yep.
And I was like, why am I driving across town to Rally's? Wendy's is right here. I was a cook at Wendy's. I did not enjoy that.
Didn't like that.
So Rally's
and Wendy's is nice now. They redid everything. I don't know if the Rally's is
still there.
Okay.
Yeah.
McCormick's Creek. That's where we live.
Okay. They were dealing with the Rally's. There was dealing with a lot of issues with People's Park is like right over there. And it was like had a huge homeless population there for a while.
I've never worked with so many people who've done prison time when I worked at Rally's. So, you know.
Hey, man, you going to flip the fries?
Yeah, a lot of smoke breaks that I never benefited from. And
it's like pick up smoking and then you can take.
Well, I know. But
You know, when I moved to Bloomington.
Got free food instead.
When I moved to Bloomington, I did not go to college. I did not enroll at IU.
You lived in Bloomington.
I lived in the Chi Phi fraternity for two semesters.
Okay. Huh.
And then when I moved out of the Chi Phi fraternity and from McCormick's Creek,
of course his name's Brad.
And here's the coolest thing is they had me come back all of my buddies' senior year and get pictures in cap and gowns. And then I went on the alumni board.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had a pledge. Like I did the whole thing. And like,
can you talk about any of that?
I can't. The coolest thing is there was one guy there.
Unofficial.
He gave his senior key, right, to a girl. And I didn't know that you don't do that, but you don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Because now he had a girlfriend and she was in a sorority that was a few houses down from the Chi Phi house. So maybe he drank a lot on his own. Maybe he was encouraged. And then he was stripped completely naked and then duct taped to the tree in front of the sorority. And then they called the campus police and the girlfriend at the same time. Yeah, that was the thing.
Wow.
And this is what I said. Man, I'm glad I didn't go to college.
Wow, that is
funny, but that is probably not like the only time.
That's 1989.
That exact thing.
1989.
In Bloomington.
Huh.
Yeah, they had a bong that would go from the top window, which was three stories high.
Yeah.
And then down at the end. So,
which engineering?
You'd start with beer, right? So the person doing the bong was getting beer, and then it changed to like vodka, and then like beer. And you're, it's insanity. I was never a pledge, had one, didn't go to college, lived in a fraternity. Fantastic.
That's spectacular.
It's pretty interesting.
What dorm do you live in?
Teeter.
Okay.
Oh, you lived in Teeter?
I was a lucky guy.
Okay. Did you
1 year?
Did you either of you do sororities?
No, I
did not.
I had no interest.
You didn't hang out with the sororities at all?
No. I had no interest in fraternity life because of the nonsensory you have to do to get into it.
Yeah. I just had to buy a
cleaning the house, running for your life on campus, just stupid shit. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that.
So I was building the bell tower at IU, which had burned down and had to be completely replaced. And paying a keg to live in the Chi Phi fraternity house.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't have to do any of the...
Well, that's fantastic.
Nobody ever spanked me with a paddle.
Things I just learned about Brad today.
Yeah.
Loved IU.
How about that?
Yeah.
Loved IU.
Well, you know what? In honor of our IU days, I think it's time for shots.
You know, here's the thing. I need to find some really bad beverage from college.
And we'll get the bong going from up there.
Wow, I don't even have a bong anymore. I have a friend that had a six-seater. That ran on a battery, so then once they packed
ahead of his time,
and then they turned it on, it would go, and then all the smoke would come out of six different places.
Oh, that's spectacular!
Incredible.
We don't, all right,
college,
vodka. You get a handle of it for at Big Red Liquor for like less than $8.
Mm. Well, okay. Old Milwaukee, a case for $9.99, unless it was in a fire, which we actually bought some at a place where the liquor store burned down, and they were only $1.99 a case.
Well, okay.
Every can was a surprise.
Sure.
I was not a big drinker in college, but there were.
Oh,
I
sorry.
Did consume things, but
that was in high school.
That's right.
Distinction.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. All right, we got some yayo.
Yayo, Luna Soul. This is amazing. Day of the
Great
Dead.
Great has not had before. So, cheers to you, my friend. There you go.
Tell me what you smell on the nose of that.
I actually lost my smell, and that's why I don't even know why I'm smelling it. I lost it the first time I had COVID, like 3 years ago.
Never got it back?
Never gained it back.
Brian and you have
to change your sense of taste?
Mm-mm. I lost that at the same time, but that came back. Smell did not.
Interesting.
Tell me that's not good.
Actually, it's really good.
I mean, that's tequila you can drink.
I like Yayo. I've said before.
Okay, so we're limited on time this evening, so let's talk about what the hell is a property manager and why do I need one?
Yeah. So Braden, before, Braden has transitioned, mm-hmm. more or less, from being a residential realtor, mm-hmm. working with investors. You've done that, but yep. still do.
Yep.
And now you and who?
It's my actually friend from also Warsaw, okay. Hayden Steger.
So he and his buddy, Hayden, have started a property management company. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? I apologize for cutting it.
No problem at all. But yeah, so just cleaning up everything else that happened kind of naturally. Like one of the first clients I ever helped in real estate ended up being an investor from California. Helped them purchase a $55,000-$60,000 property.
Welcome to India.
Yeah, after the transaction was through, they were like, you know, nobody has, you know, given us like the attention and stuff. And I'm like, back of my head, I'm like, well, I don't have really any other clients.
I'm good. I'm not busy.
Yeah. So
let me see what day I'm available.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
So they were like looking for somebody that can kind of just like represent them moving forward. They had went through a couple different other realtors. So I ended up helping them. I've helped them buy probably like 10 properties now.
You're super good with clients. I'm going to throw that out there.
Yeah. So got super interested in like the investment aspect of things and how that worked. I had interned for a property management company while I was still in Bloomington. And actually my business partner, Hayden, he worked there full time, like as a property manager, and it was like all student rentals, which is some of the hardest properties you can probably manage.
Oh,
like especially,
man, absolutely.
At IU, I think at one point he had like 300 or 400 rentals that he was managing, like just in the portfolio that he had. So
I see that as a lot of carpet cleaning.
Yeah. And repainting. Yeah.
And that's, and what's crazy is like in the college landscape of things, like turnover, which is essentially like just moving one tenant out, a new one in, the management company in general, like they had to turn about 1,000 properties in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because everybody was moving in and out at the same time.
Right.
So it was crazy to witness and be a part of, but got really, really interested in kind of that aspect of things and how, you know, that being another facet of real estate. So obviously kind of connected, you know, with my business partner, and we were like, you know, I had a lot of investors that were looking, you know, consistently asking for, you know, referrals for property management companies,
which get a lot.
Yeah.
So which is, if I bought a rental property, mm-hmm. and I don't want to manage getting the payments, I don't want to wake up at 2 a.m. and fix a toilet.
Amen.
You're the guy. You're the
guy.
We
will handle all of it. Yeah. So, you know, there's obviously we could help clients from the beginning, but a lot of the times it is just they had just closed on a property. They want to get connected with, you know, a property management company, because with the Indianapolis like rental market and landscape in general, most of the investments in Indianapolis are owned by people outside of Indianapolis and honestly outside of Indiana.
Absentee owners, if you will.
Yeah. So
we're such an affordable place to live.
So do you find the person to rent it as well?
Or? Yeah. So we handle like everything from start to finish. So we will onboard the property. The software that we have, like the owner can access like their portal, like just like the owner portal. So we'll actually list it on the market to try to, you know, find tenants and stuff. So we handle all the prospect, like communication, scheduling out the showings, conducting the showings, you know, screening them.
Pull credit.
Yep. Yeah. So we have the software that we use, like they will go through an application process just like anybody else would, you know, if they have a place that they want to live at, like apartment complex or just regular, you know, rental. So that pulls everything. So we will have a full credit report, full criminal report, and full housing report for the owner. So like, have they ever been evicted? They have any felonies? That type of thing. Just, you know, getting a better understanding of like their criteria as a tenant. Like, would they be qualifiable to move into this? Which is real, honestly, like risk mitigation than anything.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Making sure you're going to purchase a property to rent it out. You want to rent it out and make money. That's, you know, they got to pay their rent for them.
Right.
To,
it's a goal. The profit's a goal.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so we do all the screening process, move-in coordination. So getting all of that figured out. We do, you know, rental ready, like walkthroughs, making sure that there's no like maintenance items that, you know, have been deferred in the past that potentially need to be repaired. We have maintenance, you know, vendor contracts to get all of that done. But our goal is really just to make it like as passive as possible, because a lot of times that's, know why the investor's getting into it, like into real estate. They believe that it's a passive investment. I will say it is more times than not, a, you know, not a passive investment for that investor.
That's why I don't have any real estate.
Yeah. So just, you know, it's a risk as in, as is any investment.
So I'm a tenant and I wake up middle of the night, go use the bathroom, and the toilet is leaked everywhere.
We've had that happen.
And I need to contact someone to get that addressed. Mm-hmm. Are they calling you at 2 a.m?
Yeah. So the software that we use, the tenant will have a portal just like the owner does. So they will be able to make their rental payments through that. And then a big part of that is submitting their maintenance requests. So if it's an emergency maintenance thing, like that potentially would be, or heat going out in the winter, that type of thing, they'll have like an emergency maintenance hotline that they can reach. And,
which is you?
So no, it does not. It does not go to me. But yeah, so it'll get connected with the correct vendor. And a big part of that of us like protecting our clients on the owner side is just making sure that the work that is getting done, you know, is done properly and affordable compared to, you know, other options that they might have. Because that's, I would say, probably a big pain point that we hear is, you know, it's hard already when the investor, you know, is in California or, you know, even out of the country in general, let alone like there's an issue that comes up and maybe they don't have the best of knowledge of like what's even happening. It's great that they can see that entire process of like, did the tenant submit photos with the maintenance request just to see like, is this actually an issue? And the affordability part of like, once it's getting repaired, just making sure that, like I said, that it's affordable. We've had a lot of people, coming from other management companies that are like, you know, they said they did the work. Did they actually do the work? Seems super expensive for what, you know, we've had done in the past. So, yeah.
What if I own just one rental property?
Yeah. Well,
you'd take care of me.
Yeah. And we have clients that are like that. We have some that, you know, just have one and they kind of got into it, accidentally almost for like they purchased a home and maybe it wouldn't make the best financial sense for them to sell it right now.
Sure.
So they'll just be like, you know, we'll try to rent it out. So we have some clients like that. We also have, you know, owner clients that have dozens of properties. Like it just depends.
In our real estate world, we are constantly trying to drum up business, whether it's from our close friends and family, whether it's...
Market your all or tune it.
I mean, marketing in some way, shape, or form, trying to get business for people to buy or sell houses.
Yeah.
As a property management person, are you just calling apartment complexes? Did business just come to you? How
I would say majority of it's referral. So like partner, we rely on like partnerships that we make with other realtors, with, you know, realty groups, try to focus on ones that primarily deal with investors, which honestly in the Indianapolis market, like most realtors in the area have like probably worked with an investor at some point. So we rely heavily on referrals. We have not done really any outward marketing at all. Everything has been word of mouth.
Is that why I don't see you on Facebook anymore?
Potentially.
I mean, I get a lot of first-time investors. Yeah. I'm dealing with a customer right now that's buying their very first rental property. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he asked me, why do you not, you know, you've been in real estate for 27 years. Why do you not own rental properties? And I've always said, well, Apple stock doesn't, it never calls me at 2 a.m. and tells me the toilet's plugged.
That's why you need a property manager. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're going to be somebody I talk to him about because buying that first rental property, let's set this up the right way from the get-go.
And that's...
Do you do a percentage of rents or how do you get paid?
Yeah, so it's percentage-based and honestly, we are restructuring a lot of that right now. That's a big pain point that we've heard just from the changing landscape of...
Rates being up.
...of real estate, yeah, is that, you know, it may not make the most financial sense for somebody to hire a property management company. And that's something that could, you know, hurt the Indianapolis rental market because if a lot of the money is coming from outside of Indianapolis... They need a property manager. Like it's, unless they want to spend the money to come out and do a lot of things in person, whether it's these showings or
your toilet's leaking.
Yeah.
Be there
that untold call at 2 a.m. for you, I would not have a dollar amount that would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's whatever it takes.
If the management company is doing everything that they've promised to do, there will be like no room for complaints for sure from the investors. I mean, you're making that investment that really is not as passive as a lot of, you know, professionals will claim that it is. And our goal is to make it passive, like I said. So it's worth it for sure.
So where is your market?
So we kind of try to stay within like the 465 loop
Okay.
Circle, I guess. You know,
the donut county.
A natural outliner of Indianapolis. But yeah, try to stay in central Indiana. We have a couple in Bloomington.
Is there licensure for this?
So in the state of Indiana, you just have to be underneath a managing broker.
Okay.
They kind of have to okay it. But really licensing wise, that's going to be the biggest thing. So it's definitely a risk that the managing broker is taking on is do I trust the people that are running this management company? Are they doing it, professionally? Because there is, a lot of risk that's involved.
Sure.
And since you're handling, security deposits, rent payments,
showings. Don't
yeah. Think. Like it, there's a lot that goes into it. So that's the biggest key is just, I'm sure it helps to be, a real estate agent. And I would say majority of the people that are in it, that's probably where they got started was being a realtor.
Where do people find you at?
So they can find us online, Property Partners Management, MGMT. So that's the.
I'll be sure to have it here on the screen.
I do this because Brian will make it show up right above the top of my finger.
You'll be able to find me right there.
Over here.
Yes.
Yeah, there?
Over there.
Somewhere.
Over here. Over there.
Yeah.
Well, before we cut off here, I want to say you impress me. How old are you?
I am 26.
Dude, I'm blown away because I didn't know none of this. Like
the recording of this, my daughter turned 25 today. And
happy birthday, Alan.
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah.
And you are so impressive at the age of 26.
I appreciate it.
You have done a lot. You have put your ass out there to see what happens. Mm-hmm. You have failed.
Oh, yeah.
And you've learned from that and you continue to press on. So continue that. Kicking ass, man.
Nope, I appreciate it.
I'm happy to know you and I will send business your way.
I appreciate that.
Totally agree. As a serial entrepreneur myself with multiple businesses, now I want to have a beer with you and talk about so much more because I had no idea. I just thought you were a realtor guy that liked to send me one deal a year. Now I know that. You're so freaking cool, yeah. Dude.
Let's get some. You got to start pushing some investor programs, and we'll.
Well, I have some, but I'm kind of vanilla. But I've had 9 or 10 different businesses as well. Like this,
I love that.
I didn't know this. Yeah. Gosh, you're so freaking cool.
All right, kids. Well, thanks for watching. Real Estate Makes Us Drink.
Did just Brayden, finish this, but I'll finish.
Thanks for being here.
Of course, yeah.
We appreciate it. Good luck with the new venture, and thanks to you all for watching. We'll see you next time on Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Cheers.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you, guys.